Let us go into the Word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this morning. There is no contradiction in this atmosphere. And we declare and decree this morning that at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Yeah, turn with me to... where should we start this morning? Let's start somewhere different, all right? Just, where should we start this morning? Lamentation. Lamentation 1. Lamentation 3. Yeah, obviously, we'll go to Lamentation 3, right? Malachi. One more person. Genesis. Okay, let's find the average. What's the average? No. You can't tell me Lamentation is the average. What were your prerequisites? What did you use to start? So, someone said Lamentation, someone said Genesis, someone said Malachi, one more person. So someone should say something amongst this. Okay, let's start in the middle. My middle is James. Go to James. I found the average. Don't ask me what I use as my prerequisite, but I found it either way. QED. Hallelujah. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1 verse 13. Yeah, look at James 1:13. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. Did you see that? I'll say that again in verse 13. James 1:13. It says, let no man say when he is tempted. Now, can a man be tempted? Is there something a man can say when he is tempted? And is there something James says the man should not say? Beautiful. So what did James say? Let the man not say. So let no man say he is what? Tempted of God. So now, can a man go through temptation? Can a man actually be forced to have something to say when he is going through or coming out from temptation? Are there certain things that will come to your mind when going through temptation? You know, in life generally, a lot of people have questions. And a lot of times when you go through challenges, the questions you ask kind of reveal where your heart is. Are we together? The question is you ask when going through challenges reveal your conviction. You see, one of the easiest ways to know where a man's conviction really lies is when he goes through challenges, temptations, tests, whatever you want to call it, right? So in the real sense, you will see that a man actually is instructed in scripture not to say certain things when he goes through certain things. Now, does the Bible promise you not to go through certain things? No, you will. Yeah, but what not to say, the Bible teaches. Now, let me ask this question. The things you will go through, are there people who are not of your faith that can go through some similar things? So there are people of your faith that will go through similar things. So what will distinguish you and the person of who is not of your faith? What you say when you are going through what you are going through. Are we together? So you can bring an unbeliever and a believer and you listen to their stories of the challenges of life and you see that they are almost the same. Right, but a biblical way to know the difference between one who is to know the difference really, and in the real sense, it reveals one who has grown spiritually. Because you know, you can actually have a believer stand beside an unbeliever going through the same challenge, and they're saying the same thing. Is it true? Yes. It's possible now. Yeah. So they can see people going through the same thing, saying the same thing. One is a believer, one is not a believer. Yeah. But how do you or how does James make you all? How does James admonish the believer to be known in what he says when he goes through what he goes through? 2022 might not go as you planned. That is just the way life is. Why? Because you know, a lot of things that happen on earth are dependent on several other things on earth. Let no man say. Okay, right? So in the prayer of the apostles, you see that even while they prayed, some were killed. Do you suppose the church would have been praying for Stephen when Stephen was stoned to death? In fact, think about it this way. If you remember Acts chapter 7:8, where you see Peter was in prison, right? And Dorcas, he came to the house to knock at the house where they were praying for his deliverance. Do you remember that teaching? Yeah. He came to the house to knock at the door where they were rigorously interceding for his deliverance. And Dorcas saw him. Dorcas ran and said, that's a ghost. And they said, that's a ghost. They told Dorcas that you must have seen a ghost. People that were in the place of prayer. Are we together? Maybe it has happened to them before that. Maybe they pray for somebody and the person did not come back. Yeah, but you will see that no matter how you want to look at it, there's a place their heart was, which was in the fact that they were understanding, or they had an understanding that the blessedness of prayer is in the fact that a man has prayed. Yeah, let what brings excitement to you in the fact that you pray is let what brings excitement to you is the fact that you are in obedience to the instruction of Jesus. Right? Jesus says men ought to pray and what? Pray. Let that be exciting to you that when you finish hours of prayer, no matter, so you can finish hours of prayer and you get to your house and they give you quick notice. Let me now tell you something again. You can also finish for the hours of prayer and get to your house and they give you a promotion letter. Let what derives or what makes you get joyful in either of those circumstances be the fact that you have been in obedience to the instruction of your master that says men ought to pray and pray always. So James now tells you, let no man say when he is tempted, he is what? Tempted of God. Yeah, so it means that when you see a challenge, where a pastor passes, for instance, right, you don't come to a conclusion that God is testing the body of Christ. Are we together? You know, so the truth is that challenges will always come. What you say about the challenges or within or in the midst of the challenges or exposes the convictions of your heart. Are we together? Let him not say that I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with what? Evil. Neither tempted he any man. So what does it mean that God cannot be tempted with evil? Yeah, it means that no matter the evil that man tries to bring God's way, God doesn't respond to man's evil. Did you get that? No matter the evil, so God doesn't tempt and doesn't respond to man's temptation. Are we together? Hold your hands in James and let's go to Malachi. Hold your hands in James, go to Malachi. Malachi is the last book before Matthew. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Are we there? Let's read verse 6 together. Malachi chapter 3. So just go to Matthew, the last book, and just go backwards a bit. You see Malachi 4, then you see 3. So Malachi 3, verse 6. Are we there? 1, 2, 3, go. 1, 2, 3, go. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Read that again. 1, 2, 3, go. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. So it means that God's consistent character is consistent through time. Are we together? Now, look at James. Go back to James. Remember, your hands, you should not open it again. Your hands are already there. Look at James. So when James tells you that let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted any man. If that is God's state in the time of James, would that be his state from beginning of time? Why? Because he changed not. Do you get that? So if you agree with James, right, and you will agree with James more because you will see that he was a partaker of the teachings of Jesus. So it means that James will know better and actually be more articulate in his writings. Are we together? So if you see James says that let no man say he is tempted of God, for God cannot. See, it's certain. James is affirmative about it. He says God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted any man. So it means that in your theology, you must come to a conclusion that man could not have done so much evil on the earth that God will now want to spark and destroy everybody. Did you get that? Did you get what I just said? Are you here? God cannot be tempted. It means that, okay, look at it this way. You know, how many of you are at Love Feast, right? You saw at the Love Feast, there was this game we did. You know that game? Mana game, right? Sister Monk. You're supposed to play that game that day. Right? So we were playing that game where you tempt. Right? So if you try to throw it to somebody and a person tries to catch it and you didn't throw it, person is out. Out together. So think about God as that being who is somewhere and a man wants to throw that ball to God. So God doesn't do. Stop now. Release it now. Yeah. So no matter what man does to God, God doesn't react. Remember, what you do when they want to throw the ball to you is reaction. Abi, you are reacting to what you are seeing. So when someone tries to throw it to you, right? All of you are not moving because it's my phone. All of you are not moving. It's not like they are so good. Just that everybody is not moving. And Pastor cannot throw his phone. Okay. Right? In the real sense, yeah, you no matter how much you try to throw it, yeah, no matter how much you try to throw temptation God's way, God doesn't do this and spark. That's what it means. God cannot be tempted with evil. So God doesn't respond to man's push of evil. So it means that God cannot get to a point where he wants to destroy because of what man does to him. Why? Because the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. We saw that on Wednesday, right? So look at James again. He says, but every man is tempted in verse 14 when he is drawn away of his own lust and what? Enticed. Are we together? Let me use the analogy again. So I throw to you, the reason why you want to react so that the ball will not fall is out of lust. Hello? Lust for what? For the prize. Lust to win. So your eyes are on the prize. So because of the prize your eyes are on, yeah, you want to... Yeah. So in the real sense, if that prize was not your eyes, when you go there and stand, if they throw the ball, what will you do? Like some of you, when you were doing round the chair, one of our sisters, she won. No, she said, I cannot sit down. Has somebody else come and sit down? So that is the lust of winning. So the lust of being crowned the champion of round the chair. Yeah, and we also had another brother who had a peaceful lust, who had to drag the chair, but our sister took victory. Oh, glory to God! You know, if we're not there, all these things will be sounding like personification. Even though it's not related, yeah. So in the real sense, right? So because your eye is not on the ball, even though you have an opportunity to be the person to sit on that chair, what do? You don't sit. Right? So James tells you every man is tempted by his own lust. Right? Look at that again. So every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and is what? Enticed. So somebody uses the ball, throws the ball to you, you are what? Enticed. The lust of your heart makes you want to what? Receive or catch or move or react. Are we together? He now says verse 14, then when lust has been what? Conceived, it bringeth forth what? What is seen? The ball now finally comes or whatever, and you're out of the game either way. Right? He now says what? And sin. Don't take this example too literal, because you might not know where you end yourself. Don't listen to my words. Praise Jesus. Because people have said Jesus before now, they say, ah. But what of it? Don't be logical about this. So just speak the basic one I'm saying. Yeah. Praise God. When it is finished, it bringeth forth what? Death. Yeah. Look at verse 16. Now says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift, right, is from what? Above, and coming down from the Father of light, with whom there is no what? So James first tells you another fact about now. James first tells you God cannot be tempted with evil. James now tells you there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning with God. Are we together? So go back to verse 5, James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to, check your Bibles, that giveth to what? Giveth to what? There's a word that's in italics there. What's that? Men, right? So that giveth to all liberally. Are we together? And upbraided not. Are we together? What does it mean to upbraid not? It means he doesn't find fault. Are we together? Yeah, so he upbraided not. So he gives liberally, number one. Number two, upbraided not. Verse 13, doesn't tempt. Verse 17, no shadow, no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He now says in verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the what? Word of truth, that we should be a what? Kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and what? Slow to wrath. Are we together? Yeah? So, for the wrath, let's read verse 20 together. 1, 2, 3, go. For the wrath of man walketh not. Let's read that again together. 1, 2, 3, go. For the wrath of man walketh not the righteousness of... I want us to read again together. 1, 2, 3, go. For the wrath of man walketh not the righteousness. So look at it again and read again. 1, 2, 3, go. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Look at Galatians. Hallelujah. Galatians. Yeah, so look at Galatians 5, verse 22. Before you get to 22, look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath. Right? So, for you to say wrath is in God, it means that wrath manifests, God manifests the works of the flesh. Altogether. But yet, in your theology, we agree that God is spirit. See, it doesn't add up, right? So, works of the flesh includes wrath. Yeah, fruit of the spirit. Look at verse 22. So you see when it says, so you know it didn't say fruits of the spirit. Hold on. When you get to verse 19, did it say work of the flesh or works of the flesh? Works of the flesh. When it gets to verse 22, did it say fruit or fruits? Yeah. So he says fruit and mentions several things. So it means that we need to pay attention to what he's talking about. So it's actually better read as, but the fruit of the spirit is love. Then you now have joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Again, so there's no law. All found in what? The fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Are we together? So there is long-suffering in the Spirit. So it means that if God is Spirit and God is the Spirit we have received upon resurrection, it means that we have long-suffering in us. Is that true? Yeah, there's peace, ability of goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and all of that. And it means that because witchcraft, anger, wrath is not of God, it means that they are not found in the spirit we have. Now, are there believers, are there people who have received the spirit of God and still walk in the flesh? Right? Are there people who have received the spirit of God and still keep anger and keep malice and all of that? Are there people like that? You know, it's interesting. Let me not say that, yeah? So, in the real sense, we see that there are certain things that are expected as conducts from the believer. Yeah, we see that there are certain things that are expected as expression, or certain things that are expected to be expressed through the believer. Are we together? So the reason that is expected from you is because you have the Spirit of God in you. Say, I have the Spirit of God in me. Say, I have the Spirit of God in me. Say, I have the Spirit of God in me. Hallelujah. So the fruit of that Spirit that you said you have in you is what? Love. Are we together? So that Spirit you have in you, so the fruit of the Spirit, yeah, the results. Are we together? Is an expression of love. In love, you find patience. In love, you find long suffering. In love, you find what? Meekness. Are we together? So, as a believer, you are not one who says, "Ah, I can't be patient." Are we together? You are not one who will say, "I can't be patient." You are not one who will say, "I can't forgive." Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 5, then 4. Ephesians 5. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Are we there? Are we there? 1, 2, 3, go. Be ye therefore. Hello, Ephesians 5, 1. 1, 2, 3, go. Be ye therefore followers of God as their children. And what? Walk in love as Christ. So now it says, walk in love. Is that walk in the Spirit? Yeah. Is that give expression to long suffering, patience, and all the things mentioned in Genesis, Galatians 5, 22, right? So let's read chapter 5, verse 1, then go to chapter 4, verse 31. So we'll read chapter 5, verse 1 first, then chapter 4, verse 31. Are we ready? Are we ready? Can we do that? Can we do that? Chapter 5, verse 1, then chapter 4, verse 31. 1, 2, 3, go. Therefore, followers of God, as dear children, let all bitterness... Are we here? Are we at home?
Yes, sir.
Any angle? When I mean home, church home. Are you at home, church? Okay, so let's read chapter 5, verse 1, then go to chapter 4, verse 31. Everybody together. 1, 2, 3, go. Be ye fellow, you are not following. Chapter 5, verse 1, then chapter 5. I know your mind already programmed chapter 4 before chapter 5. Let's do it this gospel last week this morning, okay? Chapter 5, verse 1, then chapter 4, verse 31. 1, 2, 3, go. followers of God, as their children. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God. So can you see that? Be ye followers. So it's in following you put anger away. Right? In following you put wrath away. Are we together? In following you put evil speaking away, put malice away, put clamor away. Yeah. So be ye followers of Christ. Is that so? What will you find in Christ or in following Christ? Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving what? Forgiving what? One another. So we're trying to pay attention to the wrath of God, which we've been doing for a few weeks. We're trying to investigate particularly Noah's ark. Right? So run with me to Genesis 6. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. Are we there? Now, we looked at that verse and we started paying attention to the word found. What's the word there, found, to find? To discover, beautiful. What's the Greek word, Hebrew word? You can't forget suya. So, what the Hebrew words you took home last week? The Massa state. Okay, what's the Hebrew word for eyes? You know why? It's close to Massa. Together. Yeah, so, but Noah found grace in the eyes. The word they found is the word Matsa, M-A-T-S-A, and it means to discover. So, a good way to read that would be Noah discovered grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, we look at the word eyes to be ayin, and it's a word that speaks about understanding or knowledge. You know, Moses uses the word in Genesis 3, verse 6, when he says, the eyes of them both were opened. Right? Which Paul will now call you, I pray that your eyes of enlightenment, understanding be what? Enlightened, that you may know. So eyes will deal with knowledge and understanding. So what did Noah find in God's eyes? He found what? Grace. So now, did Noah find grace to be a part of God or the totality of God? So Noah did not look at God and say, Kai, I found grace, I found mischief, I found wrath. Yeah? He found, looked in the eyes. So a better way to read Moses' Genesis 6 verse 8 will be like Noah what? Discovered grace in his knowledge about God. Are we together? Yeah? Because when you say you found grace in the eyes of God, if you are taking it literally, you have to first of all get a God, get a eyes in the God, an eyes in the God rather, then you now have to now get a finding. Did you see what I just did? For you to be able to, for Noah to have found grace in the eyes of God, literally, first of all, you will find a God who has an eyes, who Noah looked into the eyes to discover. Are we together? But it is that in Noah's, I want to say very important things in today's teaching that will help you in this subject, right? So Noah found, so Noah discovered, Noah came to a conclusion, or Noah discovered grace in his understanding, or in Noah's understanding, he found out that God is full of grace. Which you now see in John chapter 1 when it says John chapter 1 verse 17 where it speaks about who is full of grace. Remember that on Wednesday? And the reality. Are we together? Right? So it means that what Noah saw was that in his understanding of God, he saw that God was full of grace. Are we together? Altogether, so Noah found grace in God's knowledge, or in Noah's knowledge about God, he saw God as a God of grace. Are we together? So Noah's discovery of who God is. Are we here? So in Noah's discovery of who God is, he came to a conclusion that God is what? Full of grace. Are we together? So now we start looking at Noah. I started looking about Peter's writing about Noah in 1 Peter. Now, do you suppose that Noah preached what he discovered? Please, what I want to say in the next 30 minutes can change a lot. Do you suppose that Noah preached what he discovered? What did he discover? The grace. Paul will now tell you the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God. So you see, grace is equal to the love, right? So it means that what did Noah find in his knowledge about God? He found God as a God full of grace. and full of love. So it means that Noah will preach God's fullness of grace and God's fullness of love, of God's loving kindness. Are we here? Now, see what Peter tells. Go to 1 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2, rather. 2 Peter 2, 5. Please, pay attention, okay? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Are we there? Look at verse 5. And he spared not the what? But saved and Noah the what? A preacher of what? So Noah was a preacher of what? What did Peter tell you about Noah? A preacher of what? So what did Noah really find in the eyes of the Lord? That God is a righteous God. Did you get that? Right? So what did Noah find in, or what did, what is Noah, another way you can conclude Noah's conclusion is that, but Noah found righteousness in the eyes of the Lord. Because Peter now tells you, you'll see something new. Peter now tells you that he was a preacher of what? Righteousness. Look at it. Bringing in the flood upon the world of the what? Ungodly. I have to tell you, I have to get that. So when you now read further, he now tells you about Sodom and Gomorrah. He now, because, you know, Peter is a very, very interesting man who pays attention to the most asked or the most questionable part of the writings of the prophet and Moses. Look, think about it this way. You know, for, let me even ask you, you know that for the first time you must have heard about God's long suffering as that which has been the same from time. The first questions you had in your heart was Sodom and Gomorrah and Noah. If they're not the first two questions, they're the top five. Are we here? Because those are the stories. How many of you, when you were in children's church, you didn't open more than Genesis and John or Luke? How many of you in children's church when they open Nahum? What are you looking for there? Children's church, Nahum, Lamentation. Who took you there? Yeah? But it's easier to read what? Genesis and Exodus because of the stories that are captivating. So in that process, you would have found out that Noah stuck in your mind so long. After Noah is who? Sodom and Gomorrah. Then before you know it, Moses, go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. This is the message. You know, some of you were born into adult church. This is the message sent from God. Pharaoh, this is the message sent from God. You don't know the song. They didn't use advanced curriculum to teach you. They just told you that Moses went to Pharaoh and that was it. And you knew it. Praise God. So the next story you think about is Moses parting the Red Sea. It stays in your mind. Are we together? Tell another story again that would have stayed in your mind. One of Jericho. Ah, so your church, you people went to Joshua. Jonah, there's this song for Jonah again. Hey. 4 3 days. This is the. No. Sister E. Now go. But he stayed in the belly of a fish. Who knows that song? You only know I know who I am. I am God who God says I am. Yeah, but there was a song all around all of those stories we always used to learn it. So you will know Jonah, you know all of Jericho. David and Goliath. Ah, yes. You will know David and Goliath. You know Daniel. Like some of you went to good. Ah, Samson. Oh, okay. Joseph is Genesis. Samson, Delilah. But you wouldn't know Abimelech. Even now that you've been in faith for 30 something years, do you know Abimelech? Who is Abimelech? but so as you left Sunday school and started approaching adult class, you now hear of the man Uzziah. The one that must die before your glory shines, right? Yeah, the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, right? You know, so your Uzziah must, you know. So when you start approaching gradually, you start coming towards Job, Boaz. That's if your church actually had a complete curriculum. You know, all of that. Yeah. But in the real sense, yeah, I just thought of you say this now. So Peter now pays attention to Sodom and Gomorrah, Noah's ark. Then he speaks about angels in verse 4. But let me tell you where he's coming from. Right? Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. Oh, look at, oh gracious Father, why does Peter want me to explain Peter today? No, I'm not going to fall for that. Let's go to chapter 1, verse 1 then. I didn't fall for it, right? So go to chapter 1, verse 1. Right, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. Right? Right? So grace and peace is multiplied through. So no matter how much you say grace and peace on you, the only way it is multiplied is what? Knowledge. Right? Of our knowledge of God. I mean of Jesus our Lord. Is that true? According as his divine power had given unto us all things that what? Pertain unto life and godliness. Is he everything in life? No. Look at the next verse. Through what? The knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of divine nature. Are we together? So the divine nature is the divine power. Yeah, so it's related to the divine power that had given unto us all things pertaining to life. So the life and the godliness will be divine. Are we here? Are we here? Yeah? Because it's a very interesting verse. Right? So the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was spoiled from his old things. Right? Look at verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus and Savior. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them. Right? And be established in present truth. Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Right? Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. He's talking about his death. Yeah, this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my disease to have these things always in what? Remembrance. For we have not. So, how do you suppose they will have it always in remembrance? In his writings, right? So, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, and when there came such a voice of him in excellent glory, this my blessed son in whom we were pleased. Verse 18, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. So Peter is recounting that story of Mount of Transfiguration, right? So he says, we have also, now follow attentively, yeah? We're getting there, yeah? We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, that know what? Prophecy of the scriptures is of what? Private interpretation. For the prophecies came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God speak as they were what? Moved by the Holy Ghost. Yeah, moved by the Holy Ghost will be inspired by the Holy Ghost. Are we together? Yeah, so verse 2 now tells you, but there were false prophets amongst the people. Can you see where the but came from? The but came from in prophecy, or stating that prophecy has no private interpretation, and there were holy men moved by the Holy Ghost who gave prophecies. But amongst the people, there were false prophets, even as there shall what? There shall what? There shall be false teachers amongst you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now look at verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious way, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken to. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of what? You, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God, right? If God spared not the what? So, what is Peter now doing? Peter is bringing the judgment and the justice of God from some stories to remind you what will happen to false prophets. Did you see that? From chapter 2, verse 1, he first tells you there were false prophets and there will be false teachers. He now brings an example of what will happen to people who stay in what? The dark. So he now says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Verse 5 now says, and he spared not the what? Old world, but saved Noah. Right? The eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly and turning the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into the ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that are after should live ungodly. So now, the flood of Noah, the angels casting, Sodom and Gomorrah destruction, is what? An example to those that will live ungodly. Are we here? Is an example. Now, what do you see is consistent in Noah and Sodom? A messenger with a message that people rejected. How do you know that? From verse 1, he already told you that there will be false teachers. So he's talking about teachers and prophets. He now tells you that Noah was a preacher. Did you see that? Yet, in Noah being a preacher of righteousness, there were those who were ungodly. So he now uses Noah's story and Sodom and Gomorrah as an example to show what condemnation comes on the ungodly. Are we together? Yeah, think about it this way. In Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot's daughters left the city with him and they decided to make him drunk and they raped him. Is that true? Is that true? We've looked at that. In the real sense, what will you call it in today? That is something ungodly. But was Lot and his daughters delivered from Sodom and Gomorrah? Yet with ungodly conduct. Are you here? With ungodly conduct, they were still delivered from Sodom and Gomorrah. Right? Now, Noah, the first thing he does when he comes out from the ark is what? He gets drunk also, and his children laugh at his nakedness, and he comes out and curses them. Is that ungodly? Yes. So, but Peter now makes you see that, okay, actually, what you should see in Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah's story is an example of those who shall live ungodly. So, with the ungodly be state of heart or conduct. With the ungodliness be state, the destruction that comes on the ungodly, is this state of heart or conduct? I just explained to you that they are conduct. So, it couldn't have been conduct. Did you get that? So, please follow, okay? He now says, and deliver just Lot, right? Vexed with the filthiness and filthy conversations of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling amongst them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of. Now, James 1, for God doesn't tempt with evil, neither does he what? Does he what? God doesn't tempt with evil. No, it's the same thing now. Go to James. Everybody just understand. Look at James. James is just the book after, just before 1 Peter, right? So, God cannot, yes, that's the word. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted any man. What does Peter tell you about God's temptation? He knows how to deliver the godly from what? Temptation. Are we together? So, will you call Noah a godly man from his generation? Yes. Was he delivered from temptation? Will you call Lot a godly man? Are we here? Yes, sir. Will you call Lot a godly man? Was he delivered from destruction? Yes. So God knows how. Look at verse 9 again. 2 Peter 2:9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to rescue the unjust until the day of judgment. To be what? Did you see the use of words there? Yeah. To rescue the unjust. So you rescue the unjust to wait for them to be punished. So it means that we have to do a little syntax correction there, right? But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of the uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, whereas angels. So if you keep reading that, you will now see. I feel tempted. Like, play, I've almost finished. Go to chapter 3. Let's just go to chapter 3, verse 15. So can you see what we've been reading? Peter gives an introduction, tells you about how grace and peace is multiplied by the knowledge of him. He now gives you examples of people, or he now mentions how there's no portion of scriptures or no prophecies of private what interpretation. He now tells you how holy men were moved by God, by the Holy Ghost, to say certain things. He now tells you how even though holy men were moved by God to say certain things, there were wicked men amongst them. Who were the wicked men? False prophets. He now tells us that there will be false teachers amongst us. He now tells you the repercussion of those who live ungodly, including the false preachers. Right? Remember, you see, a false preacher. Okay, let me not go through that. Right? So, a false preacher is a false preacher someone. Okay, let's not say that because I'll say a lot of things there, right? So, he now goes further and now gives example of those who did not listen to a preacher. In fact, two preachers, namely Noah and Lot. He now tells you what happens to them. He now tells you this is an example of what will happen to the ungodly. Are we together? So it means that the destruction of Noah, in Noah's time, destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, they are pointers or an example of what the consummation of sin will be, or what the effect of sin will be eventually. Right? So it means that those physical destruction point to spiritual destruction. Are we here? It means that those, I'll say it again. Now remember the teaching we had, what happened in 3 days? No. The previous Bible seminar before what happened in 3 days, faith and healing. Remember that series, if you were around, right? We did a series, faith and healing, the 3 days Bible seminar. And we said there's a word called hypodigma. Okay, you might not remember. Let me tell you what it means. When you say something is in view of something, are we together? When we say healing is in view or something, so when you see Jesus healing physically, it's a pointer to show that there is spiritual healing. Are we together? So when you see Jesus do the miraculous physically, it's a pointer to show the supernatural or the spiritual miraculous. Are we together? So what will be physical that points to spiritual? The same way for life, for instance. Yeah, so when Jesus will raise Lazarus from the dead, is that physical raising? Is that a pointer to spiritual reason? Yes. So when Lazarus dies and he doesn't come back to life, is that physical death? Is that physical death? Is that a pointer to spiritual death? Yes. Did you get that? So destruction that will happen physically will be pointers to what? Spiritual what? Destructions. What did Peter now make you want to see as his conclusion of his letter? Look at chapter 3, verse 15. And account. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And account. Hello, 1, 2, 3, go. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, also according to wisdom given unto him, at what? Written unto you. Right? As also in all his what? Epistles. As also in all his what? Epistles. Speaking in them of these things, in which are some things had to be what? Understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own what? Destruction. So what did Peter want you to see as his conclusion? The long of our Lord is what? So when you look at Noah's story, what did Peter want you to conclude with? The long suffering of our Lord is to save. When you look at Sodom and Gomorrah, what did Noah want you to come to a conclusion with about God? The long suffering of our Lord is what? Salvation. See, when you are reading these stories, and don't read your nursery school mind into it. Are we together? Yeah? Don't read your, let me say this way, don't read your unrenewed mind into it. Because a literal man will say, how is destruction of people, the long suffering of our God, being salvation? But Peter knows what he was saying. See, Peter knows what he was saying. See, Peter knows what he was saying. Right? So, look at chapter 1. So, Peter mentions Noah and Noah's story in chapter in 2 Peter, and still mentions it in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Are we here? Are we here? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 1, 2, 3, go. People of God. People of God. Is it pap you wear this morning? Eh? How many of you had pap and akara this morning? Don't lift your hands. I know you. I see you. Sister Rose, you laughed. No, don't lift your hands. I mean, you fed yourself and fed your husband too. Are we together? Are we in church? Are we in church? So let's read verse 18 together. 1 Peter 3, 18. 1, 2, 3, go. Also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So what did Christ do in chapter 3, verse 18? What did Christ do in chapter 3, verse 18? No, he suffered for sins. So when you now go to verse 19, by which also he went. What did he do in verse 18? What did he do in verse 18? He suffered. When Peter now tells you he also went and preached to the Spirit in prison, how did he do it? How was that means you've not been following the midweek services? How was he suffering? How was he suffering and also preaching to men in prison? You see why we have to come back on Wednesday? You see that? Beautiful. Thank God you say yes. How was he suffering for sins? So in his death, he was suffering, right? How was he doing that and preaching to spirit men in prison? I've taught this like two Wednesdays back to back now, right? It couldn't have been Jesus preaching to the men in the spirit. Just look at verse 20, which sometimes were disobedient. So it means that the spirit in prison will be in regards to those who were sometimes disobedient. When was the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah? Are we here now? So it is in Noah's days long suffering. He's talking about preaching to spirits in prison. So who is the he that preached to those people who were disobedient? Noah, not Christ. What did Christ do in verse 18? He suffered. Are we here? So Christ suffered in verse 18. So the he, so it's a syntax correction. You have to do that. By which also Noah went. Yeah, so it means that we need to pay attention to the went. Yeah. So Noah preached to people or unto the spirit in prison, which sometimes, so verse 20, the which sometimes in verse 20 qualifies the he who preached. The Christ preached to those who were in Noah's time. The Christ preached to Noah's generation. He didn't. Did you get that? So, except verse 20 did not start with which sometimes. So, the which sometimes in verse 20 qualifies the spirit in prison in verse 19. Did you get that? So, we sometimes were disobedient when once the long suffering of God within the days of Noah, while the ark was in preparing, wherein few that his eight souls were what? Saved by what? Look at what Peter makes you see. They were saved by water. Listen, no. They were saved by water. Does that make any sense? But we say Noah's flood destroyed. What is flood? Water. Flood is not fire moving with speed. Flood is water moving with speed. What did Peter let you see that saved them? They were saved by what? Water. Are we here? Look at what he now says in the next verse. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Please look at your Bibles. Don't look at me. Yeah, look at the Bibles. Look at verse 21 again. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Can you see a bracket? Remove the bracket totally. What's the next line you see? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the water of Noah is a figure to the saving we have by the resurrection of Jesus. Are you here? Are we here? Let me ask you a question. The first thing that comes to your mind about Noah's flood is that water destroyed people. What is Peter making you see? Water actually saved. And the water that saved is an example of what saved us by the resurrection. Do you see that? Look at that again. He says, the light figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See what? So let's go back and read the brackets. He now says, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but what? The answer of a good conscience towards what? God. So how does the resurrection save a man? When a man has a good conscience answering towards God. What is summary of? There's a word that can summarize that. No, there's a word that can summarize that. Having a good answer conscience towards God. Belief. Are we together? Believed. Right? So, by believing, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, and is at the right hand of God, angels and authority and power being made subject unto him, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
What did Peter tell you Christ did in verse 18? What did he tell you in chapter 4, verse 1? For as much then as Christ had what? Suffered. Look at it. Arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased for sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to the run of it. So he keeps talking about that, and he starts talking about conduct, and now he's talking about elder giving an example and everything. Are we following here? Hope we are following. Right? So, where the people, the spirit in prison, go back to verse 19. The spirit in prison, were they there? Now, where do you suppose they got into prison? Yeah? When do you suppose they begin to be qualified as spirit in prison? When you are certain that they've heard no one and rejected. Did you get that? You know, disobedience is only found when a message has been presented. Are we together? So a message must have been presented before you can say he rejected or accepted. So he says, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits of the world. So the disobedience is upon the preaching. Hallelujah. So what did Jesus do for 3 days and three nights? Preaching to spirits in prison or he was suffering? Preaching to spirits in prison or he was suffering? He was suffering. We just read four verses within 10 verses that said, Christ suffer, Christ suffer, Christ suffer. Are we together? Yeah. So a better way you can read that is, so the spirits are now in prison. These spirits now in prison, they were disobedient some time ago. Look at your Bible, look at your Bible, look at your Bible, look at your Bible, look at your Bible. By which also Noah preached. Now there are spirits in prison, which sometimes, are we here? Were disobedient when once. Now, was it a once or, you know, I explained that in that teaching over the week. I said the word there once has to do with over time or a long time ago or at a particular time, at a particular series of season or period. Right? So, which sometimes were disobedient, when one time or once ago, a long time ago, the long suffering of God waited in the days of what? Noah. Now, we looked at the word disobedience on Wednesday, and we saw the word disobedience means to believe not or to reject. Now, there's another word we used in that teaching, right? So they were disobedient. That means they believe not, even though the long suffering of God waited in the days. Yes, the word we looked at on Wednesday is the word waited. Now, the word there waited, we looked at it as a word used for some when you are expecting something positive. Right? The word there waited means you are expecting something possible. We used Romans chapter 8 to explain it. Yeah, when they waited for the manifestations of the sons of God. Romans 8. Are we together? Yeah, so that word there waited deals with the word that speaks about so when you're waiting for something what positive. Are we here? Now, let me ask you a question. What was the long suffering of God waiting for? Waiting for the floods to come? Or waiting for men to believe? Do you see that? You know there's a difference. Yeah, there's a difference. One says the long suffering of God I'm suffering long till that flood comes. But actually, the suffering of the Lord is actually waiting for men, because the word they waited is waiting for something with help, something positive, waiting for a kind of help. So the long suffering of the Lord waited positively for men to receive and believe in Noah's day. Are we together? Are we together? So, now, I want to now say something very important right now. In relation to the message you have received, which is the gospel, what is the long suffering of God waiting for today? Men to believe, or to hear and believe, receive and believe. So, what is God's power to save man? Please, I want you to think of this question very well. What is God's power to save man? Don't go to Romans 1. Ojoro. What is God's power to save man? Preaching on his gospel. I said, don't go to the gospel. What will you call it again? No, what will you call it again? I have to leave the stage. What will you call the power of God to save? Malisco. What will you call the power of God to save? Yes, you will call it the message. But where will the power of God be found? Oh, I said the answer already. What did I say? You call it the gospel. But it's found in the message. Did you get what I just said? The reason why I didn't want to use gospel is because we're trying to put Noah and the gospel narrative side by side. So where is the power? So Romans 1 tells you, yeah, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the what? Power of God unto. So the power of God unto save is found in the gospel. The gospel will be seen as the message. Did you get that? So where will you see the power of God to save light in Noah's time? In the message that he preached. So by extension, in the believing of the message. Because the word of God, which is his message, will only have an effect when it is mixed with what? Faith. Are we here? The message of God will only have an effect. So I'll ask a question. The message of God or the message of the gospel in itself, is it powerful? Yes and no. You got it, right? The message of the gospel in itself, is it powerful? Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that is God's ability to save man wrapped in the message. But that it is presented to you, you have to what? Receive. So what now creates the super abounding power of God's power in his message? When faith is mixed with the message. Are we here? Let me say it again. When faith is mixed with the message. Let me say it one more time. When faith is mixed with the message. So Paul will tell you, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it was power of God unto what? To them that believe. Do you see that? Yeah? To them that believe will be those who mix faith with the message of salvation or the message of the gospel. Are we together? Glory to God. So, what was to happen in Noah's time? Men were to believe. Let me now ask you a question. Please, this will rattle your minds a little. What were they to believe? Okay, go back. What was Noah preaching? Grace. What grace was Noah preaching? A grace of love in the physical or a grace of love in the spiritual? You have to be careful. A grace of love or a grace of love in the physical or a grace of love in the spiritual. So it means that you will need to qualify Noah, a preacher of righteousness, as Noah, a preacher of God's physical righteousness. Hello? You see what I said? That's the one when we take these things. Don't just keep going and run. Hey, Noah, there's no flood. I just put it on Facebook or WhatsApp. Noah, no flood. You don't get it, forget about it. Are we together? Because there are a lot of things I still need to say about this story. So when Peter acknowledges that Noah is I will show you something that will make you boggle your mind shortly. When Peter acknowledges that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, was he a preacher of physical righteousness? Okay, so can you call righteousness saving power? Listen, can you call righteousness saving power? Can you call righteousness saving power? Can you call righteousness salvation? Romans chapter 8. Yeah, with the heart man believes unto what? Salvation and what? Confession is made unto what? Romans 10. Look at verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto what? Righteousness. And with the mouth confession is what? Made unto what? Salvation. Right? So we try to explain that it's not that you believe, you confess. If you only believe in your heart, you're only righteous. If you don't confess, no salvation. So it means that righteousness and salvation are the same. Yeah, holistically. Yeah, you might be able to break it down into a lot of explanations there. But holistically, righteousness, salvation. Right? So if Noah was a preacher of righteousness, was Noah a preacher of salvation? So when Peter tells you that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, what righteousness was he preaching? Or let me say it better so you understand. What salvation was he preaching? Salvation of the flood or salvation by grace through faith in the resurrection? Pity two of them. Okay? I'll say it again. If Peter tells you Noah was a preacher of righteousness, it means that Noah was a preacher of God's saving power. Right. So what message was Noah preaching? Was he preaching the message of the flood or the message of the or salvation from destruction? Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. You know, the problem with us a lot of times is that when we just give us two answers, the first one doesn't make sense in your head. You just put it out. Second one, you just say it. So Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Are we together? Please don't lose what I'm about to say right now. Noah, a preacher of righteousness. Right? Noah found grace. Right? There's a scripture you will go to that will give you a total answer right now. Tell me. One scripture. Just one scripture you will go to right now. And to give you all this confusion away. One, just mention it. Sister Rose, you know it too. You know it. There's one scripture you will go to right now, you will get everything out of the way. Who's going to mention it? Sister Pleasant? Eh? Amos? Eh? Remember, Peter now tells you in 1 Peter that the water was what saved them, which is now a figure. Right? So it means that Noah was a man of faith. Nope. Yes. If you're not sure, I'll hear you from here. You have to say Hebrew. I'm doing it as if you're reading something on the screen. Hebrews 11. Go to Hebrews 11. Remember, never forget, Moses wrote Noah's story. Right? So before you go to Hebrews 11, let's clear Moses. Are we here? Are we here? Look at Hebrews 10:22. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Are you there? Please follow. No, like I said, I'll say something in the next few minutes, which I started saying. Let us draw near with a what? In what? Full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with what? Pure water. Not such a water though. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without what? Wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Look at your Bible, verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to what? Good works. Not forsaking the... For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a what? Certain fearful looking for of judgment and a fiery... Are we here? We explain what sinning willfully is, right? What does that mean? Having heard, you reject. That's willfully rejecting. Right? Now, go to Hebrews 11. Verse 24. Hebrews 11:24. Are we here? 1, 2, 3, go. By faith, Moses, When was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. 25, 1, 2, 3, go. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. 26. Verse 26 again. Esteeming the. Esteeming. What does it mean to esteem? We're just doing from. Esteeming means what? You put high or you put as priority. Right? So he esteemed the reproach of Christ as what? So did Moses know about Christ? Did Moses know about Christ? Did Moses know about the surface of Christ? Did he esteem it more than what he could see physically? So if Moses knew that and he wrote Genesis, it means we need to pay attention to Moses. In paying attention to Moses, you understand what he wrote, even though the story was not about him. Are we here? Never forget, in what Moses... Now remember, okay, let's go back to the basics. John 1:45, Philip finds Nathanael and says unto Nathanael, behold, he whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write about. Who is the person? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. John chapter 6, John 5:39. You said the scriptures, you think you have eternal life, but they are they which what? Testify of me. Verse 45, yeah? If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for you wrote of me. But if you believe not his writing, how shall I believe my words? Are we together? So it means that Moses primarily is communicating Christ to this audience. Are we here? Moses, let me say better. Moses primarily is communicating Christ to his audience without mentioning Christ. Are we together? Now, never forget, you are not Moses' first immediate audience. You've explained that, right? Moses did not write to you. He wrote to a people. Right? So, in the real sense, Moses in his writing, so it means that in the writings of Moses, Hebrews make you see that in the writings of Moses, he esteemed Christ's suffering as greater riches. So, it means that there is a way Moses will teach suffering and you have to esteem it as greater riches. In reference to Christ. You get that? You get that? But he will not mention what? So go back to Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is say now. Faith is now. Let me tell you people how I should teach Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is something of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Right? Look at it. You know, faith is that currency in your account. Right? The money in your account is the substance of the car you hope for. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah? So, the money... I remember now. The money you have... Oh, gracious Father. Yeah, the money you have in your hand now is the substance of that thing which you hope for. So if you're going into a Tesla shop, you go there with a substance. Say substance. That substance is the faith. Say faith. And the faith is now. Say now. Hey, praise Jesus. You know. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of. So what is the evidence of the Tesla car you want to buy when you walk in? The faith, which is the currency, which is the now. Praise God. Hey. Let's just read the Bible, please. Read from verse 37 of chapter 10. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. That's quoting from Habakkuk 2 verse 3. Right? Though the vision may tarry, wait for it. Right? For in an appointed time, it shall come to pass, it shall not tarry. Altogether. Yeah? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of his glory, as the waters covers the sea. Yeah, so who is the vision that they were to wait for in Habakkuk's time was the vision or the person of Christ? Are we here? Not your personal vision. Amen. Right? So for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now look at verse 28. The just shall live by faith. But if any man what? Draw back. What will draw back be? He has told me in chapter 10, verse 25, as sinning willfully. Did you get that? So to sin willfully in verse 25 will be to draw back in verse 38. So, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them. Hallelujah. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Therefore, faith is a substance. Moreover, faith is a substance. Did you get that? He's been talking about faith. Look at it now. To not draw back. So there's drawing back. There's faith, right? Or there's drawing back, or there's what? Believing to the saving of the soul. Are we together? So if you believe to the saving of the soul, what's that? That's faith. Now, that's what he now explains to you in verse 1 of chapter 11. So a better word for that, the word there now is the Greek word de. Yeah, it can be used as moreover, therefore, wherefore, in other words, whatever you want to use. But, you know, you can use it as moreover. So moreover, faith is the what? Please don't lose what I'm about to say. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Go back to verse 1. Moreover, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2. For by it the elders. What is faith? The substance of things hoped for, evidence of things. So if it was something they saw, it's not the faith of Hebrews 11. Are you right now? Are you here? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Don't never ever read verse 1 without verse 2. For by it the elders obtained the words. So the good report they obtained. So do you suppose is Noah's name in Hebrews 11? Did his name qualify to enter Hebrews 11 by building ark of faith in the resurrection? It has to be the resurrection. I know you have a lot of questions in your heart right now, right? Take it easy, okay? Take it easy. Let me say it again. Hebrews 11:1. For now, yeah, moreover, faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. So it means they hoped for something. Right? Evidence of things not seen. For by it, never forget verse 2. The elders obtained a good report. Look at verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Please read your Bible, verse 3 again. Through faith, go back to verse 1. Now, moreover, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders what? So for the elders to have qualified to obtain a good report, is it faith in their immediate destruction, whatever happened to them, or faith in the message of the resurrection? It's not far-fetched, because it is the verse 11 that now tells you that, oh, Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ as greater riches. Are we together? So, look at the first person he mentions. Look at verse 3 again. Through faith we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do what? Appear. By faith, who did he first mention? What did Abel believe? The resurrection or bringing yam? Or firstling? Look at it now. It says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice by Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was what? Is it by bringing firstling you are righteous? Please keep reading, okay? Brian, you remind me after I finish saying this thing. We're going to James chapter 2. If I forget, remind me. Because I need to use that to tie up something here. Right? So, he says, witness that he was righteous, God testified of his gifts, and by it being dead yet, what? Speaketh. Look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was what? Translated that he should not what? See death, and was not found. Yeah? Because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had his testimony that what? Without faith, it is impossible to what? What is the faith that you expect that God will actually be requiring from you? Faith in the resurrection or faith for fiscal things? has to be in something which is actually greater. Yeah. So when you say Enoch pleased God, what happened? What does that really mean? He believed in the resurrection. Without faith, it is impossible to what? Please God. Right? So look at verse 6. But without faith, as I just read, yeah? But without faith, it is what? Please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that what? And that he is a what? Of them that diligently seek him. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So the faith of the men you will see in the scriptures will actually be faith in believing that he is a justifier and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, mind you, all the expressions of faith you will see in Hebrews 11 will differ. Are you here? Now, let's read verse 7. Let's tie the knot in verse 7. Right? By faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen. Okay, is it flawed as in your Bible? Did I just say it's not flawed? Hold on. We'll pay a little contextual analysis to this. By faith being warned of God of things not seen, moved with fear, and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is what? By faith. Verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out in a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. What are we paying attention to now? Verse 7. Look at the word there, warned. You see, that word there, warned, is not that word. You know, when bus conductor, they warn you. I'm warning you. Don't touch me like that. You are seeing, you know, I told him. Abi, that's not the warn here. Now, the word there, warned, is a word that means to reveal. Please write that down carefully. Yeah? The word there, warned, is the word that means to reveal. Are we there? Right? So it's a word that can mean to reveal, to show, to give a response to those. So see what the Greek rendition says. It says to transact a business, especially to manage public affairs. Did you see that? To transact a business, especially to manage public affairs. It says to advise or consult with one about public affairs. Did you see that? To make answer of those who ask for an advice or present inquiries in a request, judges, magistrates, that's the way the word is used. To give a response to those consulting an oracle, to give divine command or admonition. Did you get that? To give divine command or what? Admonition. To be the mouthpiece of a divine revelation. Be divinely commanded, admonished or instructed. Right? So, I'll just give you a few examples of where that word was used. Matthew 2:12, write that down. Matthew chapter 2, verse 12. Matthew 2:22. So it's used in Matthew 2:12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, right? They departed into their own country another way. Yeah, so the word there, warned there, to show or to reveal, right? 22 says, but when he heard the Archaeus did reign in Judea in the room of the fathers Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, right? Being revealed. So when something is shown to you ahead of time. Yeah, so you have that in Luke 2:26. Write that down quickly. Luke 26, Acts 10:22, Acts 11:26. Matthew 2:12, Matthew 2:22, Luke 2:26, Acts 10:22, Acts 11:26, Romans 7:8. Matthew 2:12. Yes, Matthew 2:12. Matthew 2:12, Matthew 2:22, Luke 2:26, Acts 10:22, Acts 11:26, Romans 7:3. Romans chapter 7 verse 3. Hebrews 8:5. In Hebrews 11, 7. Are we here? So let me ask you a question, which we've given the answer already. For Noah to have joined the Hall of Fame of Faith, Hall of Faith, right? For Noah to have joined the Hall of Faith in 11, what did he believe? He believed in the message of Christ. Are we here? Please, are we here? Noah believed in the message of... So, what did God truly reveal to Noah? Let me help you see it. Okay, let me help you see it. Remember Abraham, right? In Abraham taking his son to be slaughtered, what did the epistles make you see that he believed? He believed in the resurrection. Can you see? Something physical, in the real sense, what qualifies him to be in the Hall of Faith is believing in the what? Resurrection. Now, Abraham was to go out and count the stars. If you read Moses literally, do you suppose Abraham went out to see the stars? If you read Moses literally, do you suppose he went to count the stars? What did Galatians tell you about that? So shall your what? Seed be. So it means that the message to Abraham was about seed, not seeds. Are we together? What will you see qualified Abraham to be in the Hall of Faith? In the faith in the resurrection. I'm taking my time to say this part. What did God reveal to Abraham? Son being killed or his son being killed? It's not the same thing. Anyone you say, it's not the same. I didn't know in anyone. I didn't know the one in my mind. Yeah. What did God reveal to Abraham? Isaac being killed or Jesus being killed? Let me say better. What did God reveal to Abraham? Isaac or Jesus? What did Abraham believe? Isaac or Jesus? What did God reveal to Noah? Flood or flood? For Noah to be in the Hall of Faith, we already admit dead, that he has to be believed what? The resurrection. So what did God reveal to Noah? Flood or resurrection through the flood? Resurrection from the flood. Look at Hebrews 11 again. Hebrews 11. Are we there? By faith, Noah being what? What's the word one of God? Revealed by God. Did you get that? Of things not seen as yet. What do you suppose Noah was... let me ask you this question. Did God ask... Please listen to these questions and listen to them in your heart. Did God ask Abraham to kill Isaac? No, you shouldn't take time to answer that now. Did God ask Abraham to kill Isaac? We have been shouting the lungs of our Lord is salvation. Lungs of our, can God ask you? Imagine God asked your father to kill you. Did God ask Abraham to kill Isaac? So, did God ask Noah to prepare an ark? Be careful. Don't jump into answers. If you are still there, that means you have not listened to a lot of messages. And you are still saying, take that your son, now your only begotten son. And you think that's Isaac. Was there a son before Isaac? So was that the only son of Abraham? So did the Bible literally say, take down your only son? He said it now. Was he talking about, is Isaac the only son? The only son will be the only begotten, which is Christ. So where did that actually take us to? Go to James. Go to James. Okay, before you go to James, go back to Hebrews. We'll go to James through Hebrews. Say amen. Amen. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Never forget the faith that a man needs to receive, or the faith a man has to have to be saved in God's eyes will be in reference to the faith in the resurrection. Now, faith is the what? Substance of things what? Evidence of things what? Not seen. By which, never forget verse 2. By which the what? Elders obtained the what? Now jump to verse 39. Let's read verse 39 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith. So if Noah got saved by the ark, that wasn't the promise, because Hebrew tells you that by faith they all did not receive the promise. So if you think, or if supposedly the promise to Noah was ark, verse 39 is not correct. Are we here? Oh, look at it again. Remember, verse 2 tells you, verse 1 says what? Now faith is the what? Evidence of things, substance of things, and everything not seen, by which the good elders, between the elders what? So elders obtain a good report by faith. Jump to verse 39. And all these, does that include Noah, Moses, Abraham, Rahab? And all these having obtained, did they really get the good report? Yes, through faith. And all these having obtained what? A good report through faith. They received not the promise. So what promise did God promise Noah? Promise of the ark, or promise of the resurrection? So go to James 2. Are you learning something here? Yeah? Don't be confused, okay? Yeah. You know, I said I wanted to cover a few grounds today. Have we? So, what do you suppose the promise of God has been from time? Promise of life, right? By extension, faith in the resurrection, promise of life, right? Is Noah alive today? Is Noah physically alive today?
Coming down, down, down.
The promise, gracious Father, do we need to go to Romans 4? Galatians 3. Go to Galatians 3. We're in James, right? Galatians. So, let your hands be in James 2, your second finger in Galatians, your third finger in Romans 4. Why do you have so many fingers? For Bible study. Which one are you in right now? While you are waiting for others to book Galatians, if you're in Galatians, already go to Romans. Jesus, you are so good. What no man can do, you have done for me. What no man can do, you have done for me. What no man can do, you have done for me. What no man can do, you have done for me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Okay, so we're in Galatians 3, right? Galatians 3:16. Are we there? Galatians 3:16. Now, to Abraham and his seed, were they what? He said, not as to seeds as of many, but as of what? And to thy seed, which is what? Christ. Are we together? So, the promise to Abraham will be the promise to all the patriarchs. Are we together? And the promise is the promise of Christ. So, in seeing the promise to Abraham, you see the promise to Noah. Are we together? So, the promise to Noah will be who? Christ. To Abraham, you will see it in the form of the message of seed. to Noah, you see the important message of what? Ark, flood. Go to Romans 4. Romans 4. Are you there already? Romans 4:1, what shall we say then that Abraham our father had pertaining to the flesh had found? Are you there? Did you see what I just read? Oh, you didn't see it? Okay, look at that again. What shall we say then that Abraham our father has pertaining to the flesh had found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had wherefore to glory, but not before what? God. For what said the scriptures? Abraham what? Believe God, and it was counted unto him for what? Right. So, what message did Abraham believe? The message of righteousness, which Noah is a preacher of. Which Noah will not be justified through the physical ark, because Noah died after he came out from the ark. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
What did Abraham find? He says, for what scripture says Abraham believed God and was counted unto him as righteousness? Now to him that walketh in is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that walketh not but believeth on him that justified the what? Ungodly. His faith is counted for what? Look at verse 6, 1, 2, 3, go. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without what? Works. Saying, blessed are they whose what? Iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are what? Covered. What does sins covered mean? Forgiving sins, forgiven. Yeah, so you can read it as whose iniquities are forgiven. I mean, whose sins are covered. Yeah, so covered doesn't mean the sins are there and is now covering it. No, it's actually more of the sins have been what? Blotted out, taken away, separated, right? Separated from sin. Now, commit this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the circumcision also. For we say the faith was for the faith that faith was reckoned to Abraham for what? Righteousness. Verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to what? Abraham, or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and promise made of no effect, because the law worketh wrath, the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no what? Transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end. To the end, the promise might be what? Sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead, and called those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that when he had promised, he was able to also perform. Yeah, and therefore it was imputed to him for what? Now it was not written for his own sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom also it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that what? So what are we believing? To have our children, or believing the resurrection? Yeah, so believed and raised up Jesus our Lord from there, who was delivered for what? Our offenses, and raised again by for our what? Justification. Verse 1, chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith. So what justifies a man? Faith in what? He was raised for resurrection in the previous verse. Did you see that? Right? So just by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord, what? Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Romans is a sweet book. Are we together? So what is Romans showing you in Romans 4? The faith of Abraham, mentioned the faith of David, and now it was seen by their works. Go to James 2. Let's close in James 2. Remember James chapter 2? Are you there? My beloved brethren, verse 1, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with what? Respects to what? Persons. We've taught that generally, right? So when you now jump to verse 17, James 2, 17. Even so, faith, if it had not works, is what? Being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. He now says, what? Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, the devils also believe, and they what? So believing in God is not the same as believing in the resurrection of Jesus. All together. Beautiful. Now look at verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is what? Faith without works is what? Now let's see 21 carefully. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Hey. We read Romans 4. What justified Abraham? Faith. Not by works. Not of works. Hold your hand in James 2 and go back to Romans 4. Hold your hand in James 2 and go back to Romans 4. Romans 4. Are you Romans 4? Verse 2. After it tells you what the Abraham find, verse 2 says, if Abraham were justified by what? Hold your hands. Go to James 2. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Is that not contradiction? Do you get? So, Romans 4 tells you what? For what said the scripture, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for what? Righteousness. So, what made Abraham righteous is justification by faith. Are we together? Faith in what? Faith in the son that Sarah will give birth to in the resurrection. In the resurrection. Now, go back to James 2. So, when James now tells you, was not Abraham our father justified by works? Hello. When he offered Isaac his son upon the altar, what really justified Abraham? Offering his son or believing in the offering of God's son? What is James now trying to tell you? James already told you that faith without works is dead. The word dead is the word inoperative. What does that mean? It means that man, man will understand your convictions of faith by your works. Did you get that? After you say you say come again. If I was saying now say come again. Yeah, I'll say that again. Yeah, what did I say? Man will understand the conviction of your faith by your works, by what they see. So to man, you will see Abraham taking the son to be sacrificed. To God, it is that Abraham believed in resurrection. To man, you will see Noah building an ark. Hello. To man, you will see Noah building an ark. Amen. So, faith without works is dead. So, man understands the conviction of man's faith by works. God understands the convictions of man's faith by what? Faith. Are we together? So, what does God need to see? Romans 4 tells you, what did Abraham find? For if he was justified by what works, then he will have no ability to boast before God. For what scripture says, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him as what? Righteousness. So look at verse 21 again. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Look at verse 22. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? So Moses will write Abraham's taking of Isaac as Abraham rotting out his faith with his works, but not using those works to attain righteousness. Are we here? Are we going to? Who's confused here? Confusion? We've already prayed confusion is not around here. So I'll say it again. Yeah? What Abraham did with his son Isaac was a way to rot out with works the faith in his heart. Who wrote about it? Moses. In the real sense, by faith, Noah being warned of God. Right? However, 39 now tells you that what? All this, having obtained good reports, received not the promise. So if Abraham had taken Isaac to the altar and did not have faith in the resurrection, he will not be called father of faith. When you say father of faith, you know Abraham is not our father. Yeah. When the Bible teaches Abraham as father of faith, is that he's one of the major patriarchs who gives a template for the Israelite as to what faith entails. Are we together? Yeah. So he gives an example giver. So seest that thou that how faith wrought his work, and by works was faith made what? Perfect. I'm in verse 23 now. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham what? And it was what? Imputed unto him for what? And it was called what? Ye see then how that by works a man is what? And not by what? Likewise, also was not what? Rahab the harlot justified by works. Have we taught Rahab? Joshua, right? So, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Are we together? Let's end in Hebrews. So Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Now faith. Moreover, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered. So for Abel's name to be here, it means that Abel believed in the resurrection. Are we together? Are we together? Next name is Enoch. It tells you he pleased God, he believed in the resurrection. Are we here? Next one is who? Noah first. Then you have Abraham. You now see Abraham by faith, verse 9, sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, which Isaac and Jacob, their heirs with him, of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had what? Foundation. So in Abraham's story, will you see Canaan as a city? Yes. But when you come to the city that God promises, it cannot be Canaan, because Abraham also looked forward to that city. And even though by faith he obtained a good result report, he did not what? Obtain the what? Promise. So go back to verse 39. There's a lot to explain in verse 39 and verse 40, but I'll do that in days to come. So, and these all, including Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, everybody, Moses, having obtained a good report through faith, which actually is clear from verse 2, right? By it the elders obtained good report. He says, through faith received not the promise. Look at verse 40, 1, 2, 3, go. God having did some better thing for us, that they without us should not. Verse 1, 12, wherefore? Can you see how chapter 11 speaks about the moreover? You know, so, and how did you understand moreover? By reading the previous. So how do you understand wherefore in chapter 12? Reading previous. So what was the previous we read? They obtained a good report, but received not the promise. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Verse chapter 12 now says what? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, and the sin, and let us lay aside every weight, and the sins which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto what? Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So who brings completion to that faith, or who brings totality, or who qualifies, or who brings, you get what I'm trying to say, right? Jesus. Right? So when he says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are the clouds of witnesses? The elders that obtained a good report in chapter 11. Are we here? So he says, wherefore we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside, looking at Jesus, finisher of finished faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of God. For consider him that endureth such a condition of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied of faith and mind, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving unto sin, against sin rather, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou rebuke. For the Lord, for whom the Lord loveth, he who chastised, yeah, and scourgeth every son whom he receives. You know, that verse alone is another interesting verse. Yeah. Whoever the Lord loves, he chastises and he scourges. Are you going through challenges? The Lord is scourging you. You are being scourged because he loves you. Choir, sing with me. He loves us. Oh, he loves us. He scourges us. Are we together? He says, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? Does God chastise us? Yes, he does. How does he do it? By his words. Look at it. He says, my sons, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked. Right? So if you go back to read where that, verse 5 now explains to you, ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Right? So it is in exhortations you see scourging. Did you get what I'm just doing? I'm doing a lot of study in these few verses. Yeah, so how does God chastise you? Through his words. Correction through words. If you read Proverbs, you'll see how that is better explained. If you enjoy chastening, God deals with you as with sons. But if you will be without chastening, wherefore are ye partakers? Then ye are who? Some of you have never seen that word in your Bible before. And then ye are who? Ah, it's only me that's in church. Oh, hey, what verse am I reading? Now we are looking at your Bible. Where are you? Hebrews where? Verse what? Verse 9, verse 8. Wherefore are ye all partakers? Then ye are what? Oh, nobody wants to say bastards. Ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reference. Shall we not much rather be instructed unto the Father of the spirits and live? Take care of that. For they verily for a few days chastise us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. So your father will chastise you out of his pleasure. Eh? See, no matter if you like grow tall as this pole, I will still flog you. That chastising is to just prove to you that he is still there. But when God chastises you with his word, it's for your profit. Are we together? Yeah? Don't take that literally. That we might be partakers of his holiness, now not chastening for the present, seemeth to be joyous. Hallelujah. But grievous nevertheless, afterwards, yielded to peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up your hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for the feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. So, you know that scripture? Are you following peace? Are you following holiness? It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Yeah? So a better contextual read, he's been talking about conduct. So a better way to read that would be what? Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord in you, or see the Lord through you. Did you get that? Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring forth. So Esau, in that speech about Esau, more celebrated than everything. So I mean, for God is the consuming fire. Let brotherly love what? Continue. We had a good read today, did we? We read lots of books today. Now, let me close here. So faith, evidence of things, substance of things, evidence of things hoped for. Faith, substance of things hoped for, evidence of things what? Not seen. By which the elders what? Obtained a good report. For Noah being warned of God, right? Be warned of God. I'm quoting Second Peter. Be warned of God. What happened again? Build an ark, preparing of the ark. You get to verse 39. All this, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise, which God has provided for us to make us perfect, to make them perfect, and all of that. Wherefore we have such a great cloud of what? Witnesses. Hallelujah. So what have we learned today about Noah? Number one, Noah was a man. We are going to see. God is going to see. Noah was a male man. No, now we have female men. I watch Money Heist. So we have Noah, a man. Noah who found grace in the eyes of God. Noah, a preacher of what? God's righteousness. That is God's salvation. And Noah rotting out his faith by his works. Are we together? Are we together? We'll pay attention more to Noah in days to come. We've tried touching 2 Peter, 3 and everything. Just bow your heads and just pray in the Holy Ghost for a while. Bow your heads and just pray in the Holy Ghost.